Stay tuned for Bob and Yart Live, but first, here's our Denver Bible Church update with a sermon excerpt.
The Bible is filled with scientific evidence that only God could have written it. The ancient world is worshiping the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the Bible said in Deuteronomy chapter 4, don't worship them. They're just lights. As I interviewed an editor for Scientific American, some of you heard it on the radio show, Michael Shermer, I started off saying, Michael, I know you're an atheist. I know you don't believe in the Bible. But can we have a starting point? Can you at least agree that when the Bible said that the sun, the moon, and the stars are not gods, they're just lights? Can we at least agree with that, that in that one point, the Bible was right? And his answer as a scientist, he said, the sun is not a light. You fool. And he's an editor for Scientific American, which shows us the fear in the heart of the atheist and how unscientific they're willing to be in order to close their mind to God. The Bible starts with the book of Genesis. You open it up, first page, there's Genesis written by Moses. And that book tells us about the creation. That's why it's the first book. But the first book actually written is the book of Job. And in the book of Job, God talks to this man and reveals himself as God with evidence that's still compelling today, 4,000 years later. For example, in Job chapter 38, verse 31, God says, can you bind? He says, hey, Job, you know the stars in the heaven, the different constellations, the belt of Orion and the Pleiades? God said, can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades or loose the belt of Orion? Now, the Bible mentions some of the zodiac, some of the constellations. The Bible says that God named all the stars, that the stars in the heavens are for signs. God put them there for reasons. There are about 88 stars, there are about 88 constellations in the sky made up of visible stars that we can see with the naked eye. And here the Bible names these two, the Pleiades and Orion's belt, which is part of Orion. And what's interesting is that little verse tells us things about those constellations that science, that mankind, would take 4,000 years to find out apart from the Bible. Because what astrophysicists have learned is that the stars that make up the Pleiades, and there are many of them, that they are tightly bound together gravitationally, that they're gravitationally bound, and they move in unison, in the same direction, at the same rate of speed. It's the Pleiades, what is called the cluster of the Pleiades. And a cluster is something that's bound together. Individual things, discrete items that are bound together somehow form a cluster. And we call it the cluster of the Pleiades. But unlike the cluster of the Pleiades, the stars that make up Orion's belt are moving in different directions at different speeds so that Orion's belt is coming unloosed. So that eventually that belt will no longer be a belt. It'll be open. So God says to Job, can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades or loose the belt of Orion? How could Job have known to write that in his book? You know, the pagan Greek philosophers couldn't fathom what the...
This is Pastor Bob Enyard of Denver Bible Church, live radio. Welcome to live radio. And we'd like to invite you to visit this Sunday at 6200 West Hampton, that's near Hampton and Wadsworth, or visit us on the web at denverbiblechurch.com. Looking forward to seeing you in person or, hey, via email.
Service with the weekend.
to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyard, America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number is 1-800-8-NYARD, 1-800-836-9278. See, the system works. Right? The homosexual pedophile John Gagan, the Roman Catholic priest, former priest, who was sentenced to jail. He should be executed for his crimes. And instead, he was sentenced to jail, but he was killed in jail. Father Gagan was killed in jail by another inmate serving a life term for a murder 15 years ago. But see, the system works. Right? He was supposed to be executed, and he was killed. And the execution should not have been painless. We shouldn't put him to sleep with, you know, just a needle, nice and quietly and calmly. But it should be, the execution of a convicted criminal should be, it should be terrible. It should be painful. It should be terrifying. And Father Gagan was executed in a very terrifying and painful way. And the only thing I could think to say about it is, see, the system works. You know, that's what people say whenever the criminal justice system rules in their favor. They say, see, the system works. But the only time I say, see, the system works is when a criminal who should have been executed gets beat to death in jail. That's it. That's the only time. Because if there is a court case that happens to go the right way, that's not indication that the system works. Because even a broken clock is right twice a day. That's an indication of – that's a – if a court system in America, if a courtroom in America gets a case right, that's a random event in a mindless system. That's what it is. It's not proof that the system works. The system doesn't work. Except when capital criminals get beat to death during their life sentence. So let's go to the phones, 1-800-836-9278, all the way in Davenport, Iowa. Russ, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. This is Russ in Davenport, Iowa.
Well, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. I have a couple things to share with you. First, I want to share with you what a tremendous blessing the two subscriptions we've got from your organization, KGov Live. We've got the Bible studies.
Yeah.
And we've got your weekly sermons.
Wow. So you get both.
We get both.
How do you – you can't possibly listen to that many tapes every month, Russ.
Absolutely we do. Absolutely we do. My wife and I put the
Lord.
Bible studies and the sermons kind of taking turns in the tape deck in our minivan as we're driving all around the wonderful Quad Cities.
Right.
And not only are we remarkably fed by God's work through you, but we're also given so many things that we can talk about on a practical level that my wife and I are dealing with every single day.
Wow.
And between understanding the plot of the Bible
right,
and following your Sunday sermons, you know, we've taken 5-6-year-old Christians that we are, and we just feel like God has just pushed so much wisdom to us through your teaching.
Well, hey, Russ, I'm going to give you an hour to cut this out. This is really, really kind of you. I'm blown away. And I think we have a few people that subscribe to both. Usually somebody gets the monthly Bible study album or the sermons. But so you guys get both. Wow. And I'm glad to hear it's not overload, that it's not too much or two repetitions. Really, they're different. You know, the sermons are standard Christian sermons, and the Bible
Absolutely.
Studies are more in-depth Bible study.
You know, and we participate in your ministry in addition to you know, participating with our local church. In fact, we feel like it's just yours is our primary ministry, and we feel like we're just being obedient to the Lord in terms of local church fellowship.
Hmm.
And I'd also add that we catch you on KGov.com on Sunday when we're doing our little around the house puttering. We flip through at least three shows.
Oh, man. Hey, God. Hey, Rush, you guys are going to overdose.
No way. We're loving it. We are never for a loss of things to discuss.
So, Russ and give the audience your wife's name. Russ and?
Monica.
Russ and Monica, and you guys live in Iowa.
We live in Iowa. Live in Iowa, and we've been following your ministry for almost 3 years now, three years, right in there.
Wow.
And one of these days, we moved from Connecticut, and we moved out to Iowa. One of these days, we're gonna find our way to Denver. I'm just certain of it.
Whoa, that's exciting. You know, yesterday we had visitors. It blows our mind. It seems like almost every week we have visitors from out of state at Denver Bible Church. And we had folks from Indiana there and folks from Montana. And I won't count the people from Zambia because they were part of the service.
Well, my wife Monica has made the trip out from when we were in Connecticut. She made the trip out once.
How long ago was that?
I think that was almost – how long ago was that? 2 years ago July, she said.
2 years ago from Connecticut.
From Connecticut.
Oh, so I remember Monica from Connecticut.
That's right.
Well, tell her that I said hello.
I will. But besides sitting here and telling you what a phenomenal blessing this has been, I just had something appear to me, not appear to me, but dawn on me, I guess I should say, as I was reading the newspaper.
Yeah.
That it is so much safer to be in Iraq than it is to be in France. I mean, think of the 10,000 people that we have in France now, counted among the dead due to the heat wave.
You mean it's safer even to be an American soldier in Iraq?
Exactly.
Than it is to be a Frenchman in France?
Absolutely. Safer to be an American soldier in Iraq than it is to be a Frenchman in France.
Oh, my. Well, you know, this is a terrible, tragic story coming out of France. But, thousands dead. They've had to call in retired undertakers. There are hundreds of bodies that are decaying that haven't even been collected yet. According to Time magazine this week, they say that the French have been hanging out at the frozen food section of the grocery stores. It's terrible. That's what a lack of prosperity does when, you know, the people in France live like the poor of America. That's how they live.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A little export, a little free market capitalism over there, and they could all have their own air conditioning.
Yeah, right. And, you know, in France especially and parts of Europe, they act like they don't like America because they don't like air conditioning in France. And it's so snobbish because they can't afford air conditioning, and so that's why they say they don't like it. It's just bizarre. What a tragedy. Hey, Russ, thanks for your call.
Hey, Bob, it's been my pleasure.
God bless you. What a neat guy. Oh, I cut him off there by accident. Russ and Monica from Iowa. Thanks, guys.
Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Bob Inyart here with a live commercial break. I might as well give out the phone number since Russ from Iowa told everybody about the Bible study subscription we have in the Sunday sermons. Our phone number is 1-888-INYART. That's the order desk. 1-888-836-9278. And you could call up if you'd like to check out our monthly Bible study albums. It's $34.95 a month. If you're interested in the sermons, it's $24.95 a month, so it's a bit less expensive, and it's still, of course, Bible study. You're going to get a big dose of Bible study, whether you go through the sermons or the monthly albums, but you'll get more Bible study in the monthly albums. And we've got the plot manuscript, which is the overview of the whole Bible. And that's available. It's a 330-page unpublished manuscript, best-selling unpublished manuscript. People all over the country, and in fact, folks around the world have read the plot. It's being translated right now into five languages. And you just might enjoy starting with an overview of the Bible. So get the plot or check out our Bible studies on tape. one 800 8 N Yards, 1-800-836-9278. You know, when you hear in the media that how terrible things are going in Iraq, right? There's a war on terror, and part of that war on terror, one battle was for Afghanistan, another battle was for Iraq, because any government that supports terrorism is a terrorist government. And the way to convince governments of the world not to support terrorism is by destroying the governments that do. It's the ultimate deterrent at a national level. When you destroy the governments that support terrorism, then you provide a deterrent for other countries to support terrorism. It's not very complicated. But liberals are especially incapable of comprehending the basic strategy. So at any rate, it's important for us to defeat Saddam Hussein's regime, which we've done, but then also to win the peace, which we're having a harder time doing. And the media outlets and the liberals, from Larry King to CNN to who all and everybody, that they bask, they celebrate the bad news out of Iraq. If there are soldiers who are killed, if they're whatever it is, and they exaggerate the problems. And when they're doing that, they're encouraging the terrorist, and they're making it harder on America in our efforts to win the war on terror. They're making it harder. Of course, they're ignorant and they're fools. And a lot of them don't want America to win the war on terror. But at any rate, there are two articles in today's Denver Compost. I'm sorry, Sunday's, August 24th, 2003, the Denver Compost. And the top on one page, now, you know, the Denver Post, the printing is sort of shoddy net once in a while. I think it's page 18A. Yeah, 18A. The top article on the page says, in much of Iraq, peace is the norm. And in one town, Iraqis love us here. That's the subhead. The article on the bottom of the page, there's only two articles on this page. The top article, in much of Iraq, peace is the norm. The bottom article on the page is, poll, 70% in U.S. see Iraq as a quagmire. So much of Iraq is in peace. That's the reality. And the media manipulation, the liberal media manipulation, is that 70% of Americans see Iraq as a quagmire. Now, from the story on the top of the page, the city Diwaniya, Iraq, it's a two-hour drive to the south of Baghdad. American soldiers without helmets or body armor attended graduation ceremonies of the Diwaniya University Medical School. So that's nice. American soldiers going to graduation celebrates. That's cool. At ease with the Iraqi students and their parents, the Marines laughed, joked, and posed in photographs. One by one, the students walked up to thank them because marine doctors had taught classes in surgery and gynecology and helped draw up the final exams. One Iraqi 22-year-old student who received her medical degree on last Sunday said, "We like the Americans very much here. We feel better than under the old regime. We have problems like security, but everything is getting better." That's so cool. Much of the rest of the country remains, most of the time, remarkably calm. That's Iraq. Rather than fight the Americans, most Iraqis appear to be readily accepting the benefits of a wide-ranging reconstruction. That's cool. That's exciting. That's encouraging. And it's got to be true. Now, a lot of what you read in the liberal media is not true. How do you know when you could trust something in the liberal media? When it goes against what the liberals believe, when it's conservative, when it's right wing, then you know that you can trust it, because the liberals, the Denver editors at the Denver Post, they don't want to write something that would get the conservatives excited and prove that we're right and they're wrong. Right? They desperately hope that Iraq becomes a huge disaster so that George W. Bush will lose his reelection. If it takes 1,000 American soldiers to get killed in Iraq to make Bush look bad, then it seems like when you hear them talk, that's something that they would be excited about. It's so despicable. And so when Ann Coulter writes her book, Treason, how the liberals, the left in America, hate our country and they're not patriots, she's got it right. All right, so what else are we doing here? Okay, so that former Roman Catholic priest who was beat to death, the homosexual child molester, Father Gagin. Gagin. How do you spell that? G-A-Y-G-A-N, Father Gagin. At any rate, he was beat to death, and the only thing we could say about it is, see, the system works. That's what lawyers say all the time. See, the system works. And this is the only time you should ever allow someone to say that, when someone who should have been executed gets beat to death in jail. See, the system works. That's it. Don't say that any other time, and don't let anyone around you say it. If they say it for any other reason, correct them. And just because the courts rule in your favor doesn't mean the system works. If the courts rule correctly, it's a random event in a mindless system. It's an accident whenever they do the right thing. Okay, now what do we got? Oh, I got a letter from a tour guide. Now, how often does that happen? I got a letter here from Glenwood Caverns. Out in Glenwood Springs, we took a tour, my family and I, a couple weeks ago, when we were out dinosaur fossil hunting with our paleontologist friends. We stopped off at Glenwood Springs and went to Glenwood Caverns, which is this fascinating cave in Colorado. It's a huge, gorgeous cave. They got bats living in it. You know, you duck a couple times when the bats fly out over your head. And it's such a great cave. And the tour guide was really interesting, fun. His name is Andy. And everything, of course, was millions of years old. I imagine so was his flashlight, because everything was millions of years old. And so, you know, you got 20 people in the tour. You can't talk to the tour guide much. I gave him a couple little tidbits. That was it. I told him about the Allosaur skull that was dug up right outside a dinosaur national monument, and it had a piece of wood in its mouth, and part of the wood was fossilized, and the other part was still organic. And it's supposed to be, 130 million years old? And it can't be still organic. Part of it fossilized, part of it organic. 130 million years old. It can't do that. Organic material can't last that long. 130 million years old in that strata where everything else had turned to stone, fossilized. Just couldn't happen. So we know that the dinosaur skull is not 100 million years old. That's what we know. But at any rate, I asked Andy if he'd be interested in receiving a video on Mount St. Helens. And he said, yeah, I'd like to see that. So we mailed it to him when we got back to Denver. And the Mount St. Helens video, if you haven't seen the video, if you're interested in the age of the earth, in creationism, in the Bible, in science, in geology, in petrified wood, if you're interested in any stuff like that, you got to see the Mount St. Helens video. You just got to see it. And yeah, you can get it from us, but if you don't get it from us, contact the Creation Research Institute or the Institute for Creation Research or research the Creation Institute, however you want to do it. ICR, CRI, CIR, I don't care. Just get the video, Mount St. Helens, and check it out. This tour guide, Andy, from Glenwood Caverns, Glenwood Springs, Colorado, wrote back, "Dear Mr. Enyart," he even drew a picture of himself with the flashlight. Pretty nice, really. Sort of looks like him. "Dear Mr. Enyart, thank you so much." Capital letters, underlined. "Thank you so much for the informational video on Mount St. Helens!" Exclamation mark. "I was surprised how little I really knew about volcanoes. The video has given me plenty of new info nuggets to toss visitors when I resume cave tours next summer." Thanks so much, Andy, the tour guide. He's a nice guy. You know, he thinks everything is millions of years old. I don't know if, you know, maybe inside his refrigerator, if he's a bachelor, he might have mold that's a million years old. But the cave wasn't a million years old. The cave was not a million years old. And the bats that were living in it were not a million years old. So at any rate, we'll see if we may not know in this life. And I doubt that I'll follow up with Andy. You know, sometimes you like to give people information, give them enough information to help them find their way, but it doesn't mean you need to stalk them, you know. You don't need to follow up every lead, although follow-up is great, but I don't think I will with Andy. We gave him a fabulous video, the Mount St. Helens video, and hopefully the people we know have seen that video. They've seen it 3, 4, 5 times. It's extraordinary. So if you'd like, give us a call, 1-888-8-NYART, or go online at kgov.com, our website, kgov.com, and check out our store and look under the videos and read the description about Mount St. Helens. It's just awesome. Okay. James Dobson has put out a warning about a couple books, popular books out there. And so I want to talk about that, you know, Conversation with God. Have you heard of that book? And Conversations with God for Teens. And he's put out a warning and, you know, the books, of course, they're despicable. And so he provides a couple examples that we'll share with you. And then also, did you hear about this? Now, this is in England where they have national health care promoted by the BBC. A black woman was given a white prosthetic because it was cheaper. We'll be right back. Bob Benyard here. Hey, we've got the debate, and it's finished, and it's beautiful. It's about 175 pages. It's really fun. It's just formatted well. It would make a nice gift even to someone. Does God exist? Bob Benyard versus Zaketh, Battle Royale 7. It's $19.95 plus shipping and handling. You can order it online. We have already listed on the store, or give us a call at 1-888-8-NYART, 1995. It's inexpensive, and it will help support Bob Benyard Live and keep us on another, how much is that, 2 minutes? Bob Benyard here, live commercial break. Our call-in line is 800-8-NYART, and our order line is 1-888-8-NYART. And if you're interested in ordering something, you can call us, of course. We don't staff the order desk nor the office a full 40 hours a week. We've got a volunteer staff. And so we don't always answer the phone. And, if of course, leave your name and number, and we will get back to you. Or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you could check out our website, kgov.com. You can always get service there. Find out about all the products, descriptions of everything, and you see the prices, and it'll tell you how much it costs with shipping and handling. And, of course, everything you purchase from Bob Benyard Live, that revenue helps us stay on the air. And our goal is to stay on the air in Denver on KLTT, 670 AM, and then also to stay on the internet at kgov.com. And to build a base in Denver, and maybe, who knows, maybe we'll launch out in another year or so in other cities. But right now, our goal is to build our base in Denver on the internet and at Denver Bible Church. Who's that gay guy who's just executed? Gagin, Father Gagin, who should have been executed by the courts, was executed in prison as an inmate. See, the system works. That's all I can think of to say about it. See, the system works. Okay. Oh, there we go. All right. Now, James Dobson's put out a warning about these books. And in England, you know, this is too much. The BBC is at war with Rupert Murdoch. Rupert Murdoch, he's a liberal who is one of the largest broadcasters in the world, in England, in America. He owns Fox. He owns the major newspapers in England. Does he own the New York Post? I think he owns he owns just a ton of media. And the BBC was saying, but he's maybe the slightest bit more conservative than the average, you know, politician or media person in England. He's maybe a tad bit more conservative, but no way he's conservative. He's a pro-abort, pro-homo, pro-sexual immorality, pro-everything filthy, evolution, anti-Christian. That's Rupert Murdoch, a filthy broadcaster. Really has helped to ruin the moral foundation of America because of all the filth he promotes on the airwaves. In fact, now I don't want to get this wrong. I don't think I would. I don't think I'd be wrong if I think that Pat Robertson, you know, the 700 Club guy, he built the Family Channel, and he 700 Club is a public, you know, 501c3 charity, and he built the Family Channel Network with money that was donated, that he took in salary, and he bought hundreds of TV stations and built the Family Channel Network, but he put the network in his own name, him and his son. And the Family Channel Network, then he sold for something like $2 billion. And that money didn't go to the 700 Club, the public, you know, the nonprofit organization that that funded the purchase of all those stations, it went to him and his son. So, and that's one of the reasons why he has diamond mines in Africa. Because when you're a billionaire, you can do that. Have diamond mines in Africa. And if his Operation Blessing, the planes that bring food around the country for the poor people, the hungry people, which me personally, I have a hard time finding hungry people. All the poor people I know are overweight. And the guys on the street, they don't even want the food handouts because they eat so much. They'd rather just smoke a joint than eat. But at any rate, he'll fly some of the equipment that he needs in his diamond mines from America to Africa on the planes that he bought with Operation Blessing money. So they're Operation Blessing planes flying diamond mine machinery over to Africa for his privately owned diamond mines. That's all weird. That's all just a bit. Well, at any rate, he sold the Family Channel Network, if I recall it correctly. I haven't looked it up, but I believe I got it right, to Rupert Murdoch. Is that right? Yeah. Who was at the time, I think by the AFA, the American Family Association, they rated his stations the filthiest stations in America. So you take tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars donated by Christians to CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network, use that to buy hundreds of radio stations all over the country and open up the Family Channel Network, but you put it in your own name, and then you sell it to a filthy, anti-Christian, anti-Christ broadcaster like Rupert Murdoch. Nothing seems wrong with that. That all seems up and up. All right, so at any rate, I just got onto that. That's called a rabbit trail. I got onto that rabbit trail because I wanted to talk about, in England, they have this national health care, which is so stupid, and it doesn't work. It's ridiculous. It's expensive. And the BBC was just, they're in a feud right now in England, Rupert Murdoch versus the BBC. And the BBC just was lashing out at Rupert Murdoch, and they said he doesn't even like our national health care system. They said that, like, I'd say a day ago. So here's a story out yesterday, August 24th, from England. This is on the Drudge Report, drudgereport.com. A black woman was offered a limb after she underwent an amputation, but it was a white limb. She looks at the limb, it's a foot, and she looks at it and she's like, it's white. I can't exactly go around with a white foot. I mean, that'd be weird. A black woman who is to undergo a foot amputation was initially offered a white artificial replacement because it was cheaper, a hospital admitted tonight. The unnamed woman from Calcot near Reading, Berkshire, is yet to undergo the operation, and health chiefs have now backed down and offered her prosthetics matching her own skin color after she complained. The Royal Berkshire and Battle Hospital said only white artificial limbs had initially been made available. A trust spokesman said she was originally told she would have to pay more for any other color, but that has now been resolved. That's so nice. You see, it's government health care. It's bureaucrats. You want bureaucrats picking out what color your foot's going to be? I don't. Now, of course, things could go wrong in any system, but I haven't heard of a black person in America getting an artificial limb that was white. I haven't heard that here. So now they said that in the future, they're going to make sure funding is available to match the skin color of the amputee. That's so nice of them to do that. In this day and age, they should be entitled to the same choices as non-disabled people in the service they receive. It's an absolute disgrace that the NHS hasn't made suitable provision for a black disabled person. Disabled people shouldn't have to put up with a one-size-fits-all attitude or a one-color-fits-all prosthetic. Anyway, national health care, that's what liberals want, right? Hillary Clinton, that was her big dream. She really invested everything when her husband became president in trying to bring about Hillary care, national health care in America. And we already have it for veterans. We have veterans hospitals and veterans medical services. And that's a really great system, isn't it? Don't the veterans say that the VA hospitals are the best in the world and that there's nothing better than veteran medical care? It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. And we want everyone to be forced to do that. Hillary's law, Hillary healthcare, the legislation that her healthcare task force drafted, said that if a doctor, let's say a husband and wife had a child who needed emergency health care and the system couldn't provide it for 2 weeks, like happens in Canada. Kids have died in Canada waiting for procedures that in America they would get in 3 hours, and they wait for weeks and they die. Because it's national health care in Canada. That's why people in Canada, even though the health care there is free, they cross the border for the public school teachers. They go south into America and they pay for health care here, even though it's free there. Isn't that something? So in Hillary's health care, and this is what liberals want to do in America, that if parents desperately wanted their daughter to get emergency health care, and so they took out of their savings $5,000, and they went to a doctor's office, and they said, "Doctor, we'll pay you $5,000 cash to come in on Sunday and give us this health care." According to Hillary's system, if they did that, the doctor goes to jail, and they go to jail. Now, that's freedom. That's appropriate. That's just liberals are control freaks to the max. They're control freaks. Why would they put in jail a mother and father trying to take care of their child's health, maybe save their child's life? Why would they put that person in jail? You know why? Because they don't believe in freedom. They believe in equality. Remember, we've done this tutorial. Freedom and equality are opposite principles. If you have freedom, if people have freedom, they will not be equal. The only way to make sure everyone has equal health care is to take away their freedom, because some people work harder than others. Some people are smarter than others. Some people look better than others. Some people smell better than others. If you have freedom, you won't have equality. Bob Enyart here, live commercial break. Our order line is 1-888-8-ENYART, and we have got this debate all printed up. It's a pretty package. Does God exist? 175 pages. It's beautiful for a gift. You hand it to somebody, and it comes as a manuscript, 3-hole punch. It's just, we've got them here in clear plastic covers. They just look great, and they're formatted well, and they outline the debate, the evidence for God, and what are the rebuttals to the evidence for God? What is the evidence for God? And we offer 10, it's a 10-round moderated debate, and there are 10 lines of evidence for God presented in the debate. 10 different arguments for the existence of God. And it's so much fun. And we have it available $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And like I said, it makes an excellent gift. If you have freedom at work and it's not risky, you could buy a copy and leave it on your desk. You know, put it in a clear plastic folder. Leave it on your desk and, you know, people are going to ask, well, what's with this? It's a very interesting, appealing cover. What's with this? Does God exist? The debate. A pastor at Denver Bible Church versus an atheist. Wow, it looks interesting. Let's check it out. Artwork, pictures, and all. It's all in here. All the housekeeping posts by the moderator, Knight. The flip of the coin, it's all in there. And it's fun. So give us a call or go online to kgov.com and order Does God Exist? Does God Exist? Our phone number again, 1-888-836-9278. We're back. Bob and Yart Live. The call in line, 1-800-8-N-YART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So James Dobson sent out a book alert, and I actually got it from someone who works at the phone company from Quest. That's cool. And it's about two books, Conversations with God and Conversations with God for Teens, written by Neil Walsh. And they've been on the New York Times bestseller list for weeks. And I'll give you a couple excerpts that James Dobson is calling to our attention. The author answers various questions from kids using the voice of God, right? It's Conversations with God. So he speaks with the voice of God. It's a book, so you read it. But you just imagine him sounding like Charlton Heston or something. And, of course, the answers he gives are politically correct. They're not exactly from the Bible. For example, a girl asks the question, why am I a lesbian? And the answer in the book, Conversations with God for Teens, his answer is that she was born that way because of genetics. Just like you're born right-handed, blue eyes, you're born a pervert. No difference. Well, he didn't say that, but I added that. And he tells her to go out and celebrate her differences. Another girl asks the question, I am living with my boyfriend. My parents say that I should marry him because I'm living in sin. Should I marry him? And the author, Neil Walsh, Conversations with God for Teens, says, definitely not. Then my girlfriend might not be willing to put up with me. Since I want to shack up with women, I'd encourage you to continue to shack up with men. Make it easier for authors like me to get away with the kind of lifestyle I want. That's not what he wrote. He didn't write that. I just made all that up. But this is what he wrote. All right, my parents say I'm living in sin. His reply is, who are you sinning against? Not me. Because you have done nothing wrong. You see, if that's like professors in college. If they have fantasies of taking advantage of the young girls in their classes, well, then they need the young girls to become liberals. Because if they're conservative Christians, they're not going to be able to take advantage of them. But if the young girls are liberals, then they'll have no morals. And there's a chance that the professors might be able to take advantage of the relationship and of the girls in their classes. So liberal guys want women to be liberals so that they can use them. And if they happen to get pregnant, well, that's not a problem. Planned Parenthood is liberal. Just send them over there with $450, clean them out so the next guy could use them. That's what liberals, that's how it all works. Then here's another excerpt. Well, these might be somewhat paraphrased, but I'm sure James Dobson is getting the gist of this. Someone asks about God's forgiveness of sin, and the author replies, taking the place of God, he's impersonating God, "I do not forgive anyone because there is nothing to forgive. There is no such thing as right or wrong, and that is what I have been trying to tell everyone. I do not judge people. People have chosen to judge one another, and this is wrong." You just said nothing was right and wrong, you stupid God. You stupid moron, fraud of a God. You New York Times best-selling, blithering, idiot, fool, wacko, nutcase. "Because the rule is, judge not, lest ye be judged." How could they be judged if you don't judge, you wacko, flipped out, knucklehead, stupid moron of a loser God, you? And the list goes on by James Dobson here. It's just, this guy's a moron. The books quote the Word of God in error, and they're being sold to school children. Of course, the Scholastic Book Club has picked it up, and that's always great for the little kiddies in the public schools with the young skulls full of mush. So that's what's being fed to our children, and I'm thrilled that James Dobson is warning people about those books. He's got a wider reach than we have here at Bob and Yurt Live. So let's see, what else? Oh, we wanted to take out maybe a couple ads around the Denver area for the radio show. We were debating what to put on them. And, you know, we'll probably put our standard Bob and Yurt Live logo. And we've been thinking of whether we should put just a few words, you know, like the radio station, AM 670 KLTT, 7 p.m. weeknights. But we're thinking of putting maybe a headline saying "Eternity, smoking or none." That'd be good. That's the best one. We'd have to make it big and bold. "Eternity, smoking or none." All right, let's see. We're almost out of time. This is the very end of the show, which is good because the thing I'm about to say is probably really wacko. And the people who would use it against me, they've probably tuned out by now. So now it's just our closest friends. I'd say there's about 17 of us. So we can do this. I'm looking at these newspaper here. The last few days, look at this headline. "Israel kills key Hamas leader." Right? Hamas. Remember that name, Hamas. And this other headline about this Al-Qaeda operative, one of the key operatives in the world, the leading Al-Qaeda official in Southeast Asia, and his name is Hambali. Now, remember that name, Hambali. Right? Hambali. Hambali and Hamas. And, you know, I just happened to think of it because on this show, Bob and Yurt Live, in the past few months, a few times we had a conversation about when Noah cursed his son's son, Canaan. And he cursed Canaan because his father, Ham, committed incest with Noah's wife, Ham's own mother, and the product of that incest was Canaan. And that's why Canaan was cursed, because he was born of incest between his father and his grandmother, which of course is despicable. And if you come into the world like that, you can't have a normal life. You have to have a cursed existence. you're set up to fail. Well, at any rate, it's interesting that that guy's name is Ham. And, you know, Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Europeans, Americans, were descendants of Japheth. And the Jews are Semites, and they're descendants of Shem, along with many other peoples of the world. And the Canaanites and intermarried, the Canaanites came from Ham. And, you know, you have the Ishmaelites and the descendants of Esau, the Edomites, and all these Girgashites and Hittites and Perizzites and Jebusites and all the termites, and you got them all. And Israel was supposed to exterminate them, and they never did. It was a disaster. At any rate, I don't know that there's any actual that these groups are in the lineage of Ham or not. They a lot of intermarrying has been going on, but it's just interesting to me that they all have Ham in their names. Right? Isn't that interesting? In that, you know, the Jews, they're not allowed to eat pork. Right? Because it's not kosher. God said, don't eat pork. And so, and we have, you know, we call it a pig, if it's a, or a swine or a hog. Every name we have for a pig is an insult. You swine, you hog, you pig. And it's because our culture is based on the Bible and the Judeo-Christian history. And Ham, we call, if it's from a pig, we call it Ham. Why do we call it Ham? The animal's not a ham. The animal's a pig or a swine or a hog. But we call it Ham. And Ham was the father of the Canaanites, who were the enemies of the Jews that the Jews could not even eat with. So the things that the Jews couldn't eat were ham, I think, maybe. You know, you could check out the etymology of that. But at any rate, I also think it's a crack-up. Not that anybody with Ham in his name is the devil. Of course not. You could have the greatest guy in the world named Ham Ham. That'd be fine with me. But it's interesting that Hamas and Hambali and all these terrorists named Muhammad and the guy who was the lead terrorist of 9/11. What is his name? Muhammad. That's right. Muhammad Atta. And all these terrorist groups, they're all Ham. What's with that? I don't know. I don't get it. And some of the terrorist leaders, and, you know, John Muhammad, the one of the snipers back east. And the PLO is led by Muhammad Abbas. And, you know, Muhammad is Mohammed. Mohammed. And they like to say Muhammad means praiseworthy. It probably means don't eat it. Mo, don't eat it. Something like that. I doubt it means, but there's Jaish-e-Mohammed, Islamist group in Pakistan, that there's a hand, everywhere you look, there's, I know, I'm getting weird. I'm starting to sound like Malcolm X or something. But, you know, leaders, these terrorist leaders around the world, Professor Hafiz Mohammed Saeed, Mohammed. What's with that? Is it just a cultural idiosyncrasy that there are all these H's and M's and all these terrorist groups and names? I don't know. It's the end of the show. I could get away with it. It's Bob Benyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. Do right.